Now we will read, please, in John's Gospel, in your Bible, chapter 1. Each of the books of your Bible have a design, the reason for being written. And the design, the reason for John's Gospel, is because in that day, and of course it has never died, there are men who question whether this man Jesus was really who he claimed to be. If he was, they knew they were confronted with God. And of course, we don't like to be confronted with God. He's bigger than we are. He is more powerful than we are. And if he is what he says he is, we're in trouble because we have sinned against him. And so man is confronted with God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John's Gospel is given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And one of the last verses in the book explains to us why. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have eternal life through his name. And thus, my friend, tonight, that's the reason for this book. I would counsel you, if you have never taken time to sit down quietly and honestly to read John's Gospel, that you do so, because you can receive nothing but blessing from it. That's the design of it, to introduce you to Christ, the author and the finisher of eternal life. And that's more life than you and I have by human birth. One day you're going to lose your life, so am I. I thank God I have eternal life in Christ Jesus tonight. That's the only reason I'm here, friend. I'm not here to collect social elements or try to settle social troubles, but I'm here to try to tell you what the Lord Jesus really is and can mean to you if you'd only be simple enough to look at him and be honest with what you see. That's what God is offering to all mankind, and we're certainly favored in this land to be able to open our Bibles freely and look at Christ. So we're going to look at some men that were seeking truth, and they found it. We'll notice it in this passage, beginning, if you will, please, in verse 35 of John chapter 1. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, that's John the Baptist, I'm sure you have heard of him in your day, John the Baptist. He stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now that title of the Lord Jesus would open up a tremendous horizon of meaning to those Jewish people. Because the Lamb, in the Old Testament economy of Judaism, was the central sacrificial animal. And that animal to them, every morning and every evening, it was put upon an altar. And that was their only ground of being able to look up to heaven with any peace. And now, that came to an end. And the Lord Jesus, in coming into the world, John the Baptist, the great prophet of God, he looks upon him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now notice what follows in verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" Now here are men who are seeking men. They have questions and they're looking for answers for their questions. Are they going to get them? Notice what follows. They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now I would like to note with you those two occasions where we find that statement, We have found him. They were seeking men, and they found the answer to their questions. They found their answers in a person. Now our world tonight is filled with spires of people seeking and not finding. Now they find good social element, and you and I, we find various truths. But, dear friend, what I want you to notice tonight, I want you to get beyond the many, many evidences of questions being asked and no answers, and find the answer. That's what these men did. They found the answers in a person. Now there are four answers, four questions that were on their mind. We're going to notice them in this chapter, and how John the Baptist answered those questions for them as he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope tonight there are seeking hearts in this audience. You know, in fact, every time an audience like this gathers, there's always seeking hearts. Men are looking for knowledge, or they're looking for answers, or they're looking in curiosity what this is all about, but that's the evidence of a seeking mind and a seeking heart. Oh, I trust there are those in this audience tonight, and you're seeking answers like these men. These men had been studying the Bible. They were looking for the fulfillment of the promises given to them of a Savior. And John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus, and he said, Here he is. This is him. And when dear Andrew and dear Philip, when they came to the Lord Jesus, as we noticed here in verse 41 and verse 45, they both had the same answer when they went to find their brothers. They said, We found them. We found them. We found the one that the Bible's talking about. We found the one that Abraham gave us the prophecy would come. And Moses, too. Remember the prophecy that Moses gave? Yes, of course, they said, we read it every Sabbath, and we're looking for them. We found them. We found them. Now, there are four questions that they had in their mind, and I wonder if these are questions in the hearts of any who are in this room tonight. And can I say furthermore, friend, if they're not a question in your mind now, they will be eventually. Because they are four questions that is relevant to your life, and your death, and your eternal destiny, and mine. And they found the answer to them. Now, I need not ask this audience tonight, have you ever thought about dying? We don't like to think about it. I hope you have your will all straightened out. And I hope that you have everything in order for your dear ones that are going to be left. That's only wisdom. But then once you settle that, friend, then ask yourself, and then where will I be? Where will I be? Now you know as well as I, our little bodies are just the vehicle. That's not the real person. It's just the vehicle through which the real person manifests himself. And once death takes it away, the little body goes to dust. But the real man, God calls the soul, is in eternity. I hope that you're asking questions about eternity. Where will I spend eternity? These men, I'll be answering. There's another question. The first question that I want you to notice is answered by dear John the Baptist to these men was a question about their sin. Sin is an ugly subject. It fills cemeteries. It fills jails. It fills hospitals. It breaks hearts. It breaks homes. Sin. It breaks minds and it breaks bodies. I need not remind us tonight, and I say this kindly, but factually to every one of us, we all know we are sinners. To what degree is not the question. It's a fact. You are a sinner. So am I. Where's the answer? What can we do about the sin question? What will we ever do about meeting a sin-hating God? Where's the answer? These dear men said, we found it. We found the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to the sin question. We're going to read that. You will see what they found. Then they had a question as well as to how can a person know God? How can they know Him? How are we going to find Him? You remember what dear Nathaniel said when he met the Lord Jesus? Thou art the Son of God. We found Him. We found Him. The answer as to how you can know God. There's a third question that's in their mind that you will notice in this passage. And that is, how can they be sure they're in the family of God? How can they be sure that they're really in God's family? Because, my friend, it is only logical to realize you cannot be in God's heaven if you are not in God's family. And how can we be sure if we are in God's family? And they found the answer. You'll see it as we read the verse in a moment. And the last question in their mind is, how can I be sure I'll be in heaven? You'll see how that's answered in the last verse that we read. Dear Nathaniel, he didn't have the answer until he found the Lord Jesus. And then he said, we found Him. We found Him. I've got the answer. I know I'm going to be in heaven. I have the word of the Lord Jesus for it. My friend, that's the great authority. I hope you will find the answer to those questions from the experience of these dear men. Might be wonderful, wouldn't it now? Can I appeal to you as one human to another? Could you think of a softer pillow to lay your head on tonight, friend, than to be able to say, I found Him. Got the answer. I found Christ. Marvelous enjoyment of rest for your soul. The great question of the burden of sin lifted. And the reality of knowing that I know God. And I know that I am in the family of God. And I know I'm going to be in God's heaven. That's assured. Here are men that received it. And I look back to a time when I received it. I can tell you, friend, sitting on the side of the bed, I can say with dear Nathaniel and with dear Andrew, I found Him. That's the answer. We have found Him of whom the law and the prophets did speak. Now notice the first question has to do with sin. Turn to verse 29 of this chapter. Here are these dear men, and they're being baptized. They're trying to get the assurance and they're wanting to confess the reality of their sin. And they want to get this thing settled. And John the Baptist sees the Lord Jesus coming along the banks of the swollen Jordan. And as he looks at him, he says to the men in verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Dear Nathaniel says, I found Him. That's the answer I've been looking for. Here's the one who settles the sin question. My friend, how does the Lord Jesus Christ settle the sin question? He has no sin of his own. That's absolutely essential for the one who's going to settle the question of our sin, your history of it, from the time of youth until the present and the future. How can the Lord Jesus settle the sin question? The answer is in that verse. They've been reading about it in the Bible. They'd read about the many lambs that had to be put on the altars of Israel in order to answer the sin question, knowing that it was never satisfied because the sacrifice is never finished. But here is one. They found in a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Christ. They said, "We found him, the answer to the sin question." How did he settle the sin question? Marvelous friend, that verse 29, you know, it's actually relaying their minds back to passages that they'd been reading in the Bible and they didn't know what they didn't understand what they meant. I wonder if you've ever read your Bible and say, "I can't understand that. I don't seem to get much out of that." The reason is, friend, you're looking the wrong way, like these men. They didn't realize that the fulfillment of a sacrifice that would satisfy God for sin must be God's Son. They never saw that before. They never saw that Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, was the only possible person who could settle the sin question for them. They looked at all the pictures. They read all the promises. They saw the doctrine that was required, but they never grasped it. It's a person who settles the sin question. And they couldn't settle it themselves. They can see right from this picture any settlement for sin comes from outside of themselves altogether. May I ask you, my dear friend, tonight, have you ever looked at the question of your own sin and faced it? How will I ever get it settled with God? Let me turn you to the Lord Jesus tonight. Yonder at Calvary's cross, dear Peter, one of the men that's standing here this day and was able to say, "We found him." You know what he writes about the Lord Jesus? His own self. "There are sins in his own body on the tree of Calvary." Calvary, friend, is the answer to the sin question. The sufferings, the death, the shed blood of the Son of God, Christ at Calvary, answers to the deep, tremendous, criminal need of our sin against God. Thank God that question is answered. The Lord Jesus accomplished that at Calvary. And God is telling us tonight, marvelous, listen to his word. This man, speaking of Christ, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. My friend, the question of the sin, of your sin today's, yesterday's, and tomorrow's is settled. God wants you to see it's Christ that you trust for the great answer that your soul needs tonight about sin. It's Christ. Don't trust anything short of him. It isn't Christ plus what I do. It's Christ alone. We have found him. The Lord Jesus is the answer to the great sin question. Friend, you believe it tonight. God declares it. You can trust the Lord Jesus and know the assurance. Your sins will never be brought up against you and bring you into judgment or take you down to damnation. You can have that assurance. It's all in Christ. The second question that they had was about knowing God. How can we ever know God? I would ask you to turn to a verse, just briefly, please, if you will. Look at verse 18. No man, this is John preaching, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That's how you will know God, in the Lord Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Watch the Lord Jesus, sinless in all his ways. You want to know what God has to say? Listen to the Lord Jesus. He came from the bosom of the Father into our world to us. What an amazing feature. Friend, tonight it's fantastic that God had deigned to reveal himself to us. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. Marvelous God, look at Christ. He's God manifest in the flesh. You want to know what God's heart is like? Look at the Lord Jesus. Watch him as he weeps over men in their sorrows and sin. Watch him as he prays for the people who will hear his preaching, and he wants them to be gathered to him. And he weeps over them with sorrow as he says to them, I would have gathered you, just like a hen gathers her little chickens under her wings, but you wouldn't come. Oh, don't be like that tonight, friend. Yield to the Lord Jesus. He's God and he loves you. Look at my text if you will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And dear Andrew, as he looks at the Lord Jesus and he sees him pointed out as the one who came from heaven, he says, we found him. We found him. This is how I get to know God in the Lord Jesus. The third question that they wrestled with as they read their Bibles was the question about being in the family of God. How can we be sure we're in the family of God? Notice verse 12 of this chapter, if you will. As many as received him, to them gave he the authority to be called the sons of God. There it is, friend. It's him again. We found him. And friend, the sinner who trusts the Lord Jesus for the salvation of his soul, God puts them in his family. He says, they're my children, my sons. Ah, how precious. Would you like to be sure, friend, that God is your father and not your judge? That you are in the family of God and not outside of it, for you weren't born in it. You were born in the family of Adam, so was I. And to be in God's family, you must be born again. That is, born spiritually. Read the next verse to verse 12, will you please? Notice the next verse. Which are born. Notice what it says. Not of blood. That is, not by human descent. Nor of the will of the flesh. That's not by human decision or genius. Nor of the will of man. That's not by a human design. But of God. It's a gift from God for the sinner who receives him. We found him, they said, and they received him, took him just as he was, and all the claims of his credentials as Savior and God manifest in flesh. As I sit down, can I note with you, he found the answer of the assurance of going to heaven. In verse 51 of that chapter, notice how it mentions, the Lord Jesus says to him clearly, Nathanael, I'm telling you, verily, verily, this is the double assurance, Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, you'll see greater things than these. He says, you'll see heaven open. There's the assurance, you're going to see heaven open. My friend tonight, do you have that assurance that heaven will be your eternal home instead of hell? Where sin takes every unbelieving sinner. Dear Nathanael says, I found him. I've got him. Christ is mine. He received him. And the Lord Jesus gave him the assurance, you are going to see heaven open and the Son of Man in his glory. Ah, thank God I have that tonight. Look back to the Sunday night sitting on the side of my bed when I received it. Because I found Christ. Friend, that's the one that you should be looking for tonight. Don't look at feelings inside. Don't look at the genius of your thinking or what the logic of your figuring. When it comes to spiritual things, look at Christ. He's the answer to the sin question. He's the answer to the knowledge of God. He's the answer of being in the family of God. And he's the passport to heaven. God help you to turn to him. And receive him tonight, and be sure that you are ready for God's help.